Those statistics, which I pulled up from the American Cancer Society, were based on 2008 of more than 500,000 people dying just in the United States alone. Worldwide, I guess it's got to be huge, huh?
It is. In fact, there are some stats that show in 2005 it surpassed heart disease as the number one killer.
Oh, my gosh. Now, your work has been primarily to investigate alternatives, safe, cost-effective alternatives. Let's talk a little bit first about this word, this C word, John, cancer.
Sure.
What is that?
Well, you know, we have to take a step back and look at cancer in an entirely different way. Imagine a cell that has gone into a low energy state. That's where all chronic disease happens. That's where inflammation happens. I heard your last guest talking about heart disease,
yeah.
President Clinton. All inflammation underlies this low energy state. For example, people who are properly medicated with thyroid hormone, and I'm talking about the natural thyroid hormone,
mm-hmm.
their inflammatory state in their body goes way down. Another example, Broda Barnes, MD, PhD, showed that of his 1,500 patients that he kept track of over 30 years, he only had 4 patients have any sort of heart disease whatsoever.
Wow.
Now, the stat should have been well over 300 should have had heart disease. So thyroid reduces that inflammatory potential to an extreme. Now, what we're talking about also with thyroid hormone, and it's the natural complex now, it's not in the synthetic drug, is the ability to bring this low energy state of the cells up to their proper level. The problem is, George, that the diagnostics for testing for proper or normal thyroid function seem to be really skewed. And we refer back to the 1941 publication in the New England Journal of Medicine that Broda Barnes published in. Very quickly back then, they only had these chambers that they stuck people in to determine if their thyroid was working properly.
Okay.
And in a nutshell, after 6 hours, they could tell by how much carbon dioxide you breathed out and how much oxygen you pumped in and what your body temperature was if your thyroid was normal or not. Well, he took that and made a simple test of taking your temperature under your arm before you get out of bed in the morning, and he determined what the normal body temperature should be if your thyroid was normal. Lastly, normal blood work has a 1,400% difference between its high normal and its low normal reading. Any statistician will tell you that that span of difference between the high and low normals makes the test not as accurate as if when the test had a smaller range between those two. In the case of taking your temperature under your arm, there's only a 14% difference between the high and the low normal range. So you can see that the underarm temperature test, which he invented, is by far the most accurate way of...
It's the cheapest, too, isn't it?
It's extremely cheap, George, and non-invasive, and it will show up the preconditions for both heart disease and cancer in most patients years and years in advance.
What should the temperature be if you're doing a test like that at home?
Under the arm with a good digital thermometer that's accurate, and it should be set and kept in place and reset 2 or 3 times before you read it, because most are a little sluggish.
Right.
It should be 98.0 plus or minus 2, and it's better than the mouth because you could have an infection in the teeth and not know it.
Okay, so if it's way too low, what does that mean?
Well, it means that inflammatory potentials will be raging in the body. It's probably the number one cause of obesity. The C-reactive protein, which is high in heart disease, is there, as well as in cancer. So all of these chronic illnesses have an underlying common denominator of which this master hormone plays probably the most important role.
That's incredible. And if it's way too high, obviously you have a fever and you know that, right?
Exactly. And on top of this whole thing about inflammation is spot on. The ways in which that normal inflammatory reactions take place in the body are extremely healthy, but there's a brake system to it. So it's not that you want to stop the inflammatory process, because that can actually entice white blood cells to, for example, to digest cancer cells or infections. You want to balance it, and thyroid hormone is one of the great things that helps that to happen.
John, how did you become interested and involved in cancer research?
You know, George, I had a mother who graduated number one in her class from Columbia Presbyterian Nursing School in 1945.
Uh-huh.
She was a great nurse, and in 1971, she came down with an acute event in her stomach that turned out to be an ovarian cyst that was loaded with cancer cells.
Oh, jeez.
It ruptured, and she bent over, and she had basically a few weeks to live.
Those cells must have just raced through her body.
There you go. Yeah. That's right. You took the words right out of my mouth. So she then, being a pretty smart lady, decided to go the conventional route, which is fine, but I have a plan B. And we studied up about Latril, which at that time was being seriously investigated by Sloan Kettering.
Well, and that was from apricots, right?
Yeah, it does come from a number of different seeds.
And yeah.
We'll talk about raw food factors in a while, but
sure.
In all cases, these types of cancer cures are found in those types of foods.
Why does mainstream medicine that doesn't have a cure for cancer, they hit you with radiation, they pump you with chemotherapy, why are they so opposed to some of these alternative natural remedies?
Well, imagine this. It's a great question, George, and I like the way you put that. Imagine this. Science had an opportunity back in the late 1800s to go in one or two different directions with looking at the cell. They opted to go the wrong way. So the entire medical curriculum that's taught, whether you're an osteopath, a medical physician, a chiropractor, a naturopath, it's all been wrong. The colloidal state of gel state dynamics in cells, like, Jell-O?
Yeah.
Where you have little pieces of fruit sticking in it. Imagine that Jell-O, you start shaking it just a little bit, and those pieces of fruit can kind of bounce off of each other.
Right.
Well, we're going to get into that a little bit later. That's the essence of life, and that only happens in a suspended state where surface areas create surface energy that allows life to occur at normal body temperatures. In regular chemistry, you got to heat the darn thing up in order for the chemical reaction to take place at a usable level, right?
Right.
Well, cancer produces energy extremely inefficiently because this colloid state or this gel state is really skewed. It's really messed up. But in normal cells, this Jell-O with these little fruit particles floating around, they just bounce around like crazy at high speeds, and they produce all the energy we need to stay healthy.